From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as we turn back to Psalm 27 and verse 4. We're speaking this week of the supreme passion of one who loves the Lord. One thing, says David, I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. We'll be looking at that in just a few minutes, but first let's turn for our daily devotional Bible study to the book of Job, chapter 39 and verse 5. We're speaking upon the subject, perverse and foolish. Who hath sent out the wild ass free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? All creation, with a proper biblical interpretation, is a spiritual textbook. In every realm of nature, there's a message for our souls. The Lord directs Job to consider the characteristics and the abode of the wild ass. The wild ass is a powerful example of a nature that cannot be tamed or governed. The whole tenor of God's description of this beast shows its nature to be one of unrestrained lawlessness and unbridled license. It will not be subject to rules and regulations. Even when captured, it can't be entirely domesticated. It's noted for its stubbornness, obstinacy, and perverse determination. To the surprise of many, the Bible uses this animal to picture the state of man before God. For example, look at Exodus 34, verse 20. Under the law of the firstborn, some kinds of animals were declared unclean and could be delivered from death only by being redeemed by the sacrifice of a lamb. One of these animals was the ass. It's with good reason that we see in the ass a picture of the perverseness of man. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 7, the carnal mind, that is the natural mind of man without Christ, is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. When faced with the commandments of God, man behaves like the wild ass. He rebels against divine authority and with dogged perseverance pursues his own way. Moreover, if left to his own devices, he will always remain in a state of enmity against God. Like the ass, he is doomed to die unless he's redeemed by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. It's only when the precious blood of Christ has been applied and the Lord Himself has entered into the human heart that it can be conquered, its perverseness rendered powerless, and its service freely given to God. Perverse and foolish, the wild ass, the unsaved man, is that you? There's power in the blood of Christ to redeem, to save, to sanctify. I trust that you will come to know Christ. Our thought for the day comes from the writings of D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist who said, "Let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can." This week, as we reach the last few days of the year 2006, you have your last opportunity to call us or write us to obtain your free copy of our Let the Bible Speak calendar for 2007. The Way of Life calendar is freely available to you. It will bring you a good scripture for each day, and it will remind you to pray for us here at Let the Bible Speak. So we invite you to write to us. We look forward to hearing from you. If you have written during the past weeks, months, or even in this last year, we'd like to thank you for your prayerful interest in the ministry of Let the Bible Speak. I trust that you will continue to take us to heart and pray for us, that the Lord will greatly use this ministry in the saving of souls and in the building up and blessing of the people of God. So remember then our 2007 Words of Life calendar from Let the Bible Speak, and you may have yours by writing to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, or you may email us at freepres@freepres.org, or you may call us toll free at 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. As I say, we look forward to hearing from you. It's time to return to Psalm 27 and verse 4 as we continue to look upon the supreme passion of one who loves the Lord. David said these words, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That expression, "one thing," is one that crops up a few places in the Bible. I've already drawn attention this week to the words of the Lord Jesus to the rich young ruler who was boasting that he had kept the law, and what more did he need to do in order to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, "One thing thou lackest." He was boastful of his own righteousness. Jesus was putting his finger on the most obvious thing in his life, and he couldn't see it. That was his love for money and possessions. That was his real God. "One thing thou lackest." And that was a genuine love for the true and living God. To Martha, who was complaining about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, because she loved him and loved to hear what he had to say, Martha was complaining because she had a lot of housework to do and guests to look after, and said, "Master, speak to Mary, upbraid her, tell her to come and help me." Jesus said, "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, that better part, and it won't be taken from her." That's the thing, love for Christ. In passing, let me say that it's a beautiful thing about Mary, the sister of Martha and of Lazarus, that you find in the gospel narratives. You should never miss this. And it is that Mary is never found except at the feet of Jesus. Any time you find her near the Lord Jesus, she's found at his feet. She falls at his feet. She loved the Lord. That was the passion of her life. And that's the passion that David's talking about here in our text, Psalm 27, verse 4. He's teaching that when the gospel takes hold of a man, it unites all the yearning of that man's soul into one concentrated thrust of spiritual desire. I have noted that, and I've noted that this great spiritual desire will be expressed in prayer and in practice. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." Remember how I put this yesterday, that true desire will lead to true prayer, and true prayer will always lead to true activity seeking the things of God. In other words, true religion can never merely be a matter of talk. Now, that leads me to the third great truth that I want to emphasize. That is that this great spiritual desire centers on three all-important requests. One, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Second, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord. And third, that I may inquire in his holy temple. Now, today, and God willing tomorrow, we will look at these three things that express this great desire, this overwhelming longing, this central passion of a Christian's life. You see, what it all comes down to is this, that really to be a Christian is to have a passion to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Let's deal first with dwelling in the house of the Lord. This dwelling, in David's words in the Old Testament, "I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life," has a New Testament equivalent. You'll find it in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, for example. It's called abiding or dwelling or remaining, abiding in Christ. Now, what does it mean to abide in Christ? What does it mean when it says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may abide in Christ"? I think clearly it's saying that I may live in constant fellowship with the Lord, and in the constant enjoyment of all the fullness of the Lord. Now, those are two tremendous themes, glorious themes, themes of the utmost importance in New Testament Christianity. that I may live in constant fellowship with the Lord. Now, to explain this, let's go back to David. He lived in the Old Testament period when there was a tabernacle. You remember how the tabernacle was set up. There was a gate. Inside the gate, there was a brazen altar of sacrifice. Beyond that, there was a laver of cleansing. Beyond that, there was the tent of the tabernacle of the congregation, divided into two parts, the holy place and the most holy place. Coming into the first compartment, as you would walk in, on the right-hand side, there would be the table of showbread. On the left side, there would be the golden candlestick or lampstand. In the midst, before the veil that separated the two compartments of the tent, there was the golden altar of incense. And then in beyond the veil, there was the holiest piece of furniture in the whole tabernacle. And that was the Ark of the Covenant, in which resided the tables of the law. And over that ark, there was the covering of the golden mercy seat, beaten out of one piece of gold, with a cherub on either end gazing down upon the mercy seat that was, on the Day of Atonement, sprinkled with the blood of the sin offering. Now, that's a quick synopsis of the house of God as David knew it. And that it gives us an insight into what it means to live in constant fellowship with Christ. David was saying, and we would say, I would continually see and have access to the altar. Now, what is the altar? Paul says to the Hebrews, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. What is the altar? It is Christ crucified. The brazen altar where the lambs were slain and burnt, that tells us of the cross. Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that's our altar. Men and women, to live in fellowship with the Savior is to live at the cross. You remember the words of the old hymn? Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever. Wasn't that what Paul said when he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Men and women, every day upon your knees, get to the cross, get to Calvary, fill your heart and fill your mind with the glories of Christ's finished work, of His atonement that satisfied divine justice, of His mighty work of reconciliation, whereby through the shedding of His blood He bridged the gap between our souls and our God. He put away the alienation due to us because of sin and brought us into a new standing of friendship with God. Get to the cross and understand that through the merits of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He has not only propitiated God, putting away His wrath, not only reconciled us, but He has justified us, brought us into a standing of perfect righteousness and acceptance with God, whereby all the merit of His life and death are made over to us. All through the merits of Christ alone do we stand right with God. Get to the cross and understand that through the shedding of the blood, He has defeated death and the devil, and He has given us victory over every satanic fury and force. We read they overcame Him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Men and women, let us get a clear vision of the altar. Let us get a clear understanding of what happened at Calvary. Let us live day and daily in fellowship with Christ crucified. And as we understand more and more, and our hearts are humbled more and more to see what Christ did for us at the cross, how He saved us, how He closed us off from going to hell, how He opened up the glories of heaven, rightly relating us to God, and now gives us entrance by prayer into the very presence of the King of Glory and guarantees that we will finally enter in our own person for all eternity. When we see that, it will thrill the soul and it will make us understand there's nothing in this world to compare to living in close fellowship with Christ. Away with the baubles of time, away with the follies of sin, away with the stupidities of the flesh that would come between us and our God when we get a glimpse of Calvary, when we understand what Jesus did for us. I want to tell you, my friend, we will say, there's only one thing I want in life. There's only one thing I desire. I want to live in God's presence. I want to abide in Jesus Christ. That's the place of fullness and fruitfulness. That's the place of joy and gladness. That's the place of spiritual usefulness and power. That is where I want to live. I want that to be my spiritual address, as it were. Nothing between my soul and the Saviour. Naught of this world's delusive dream. I want to live in close, harmonious, joyful, vital fellowship with Christ. No more a religion of drudgery. No more a mere religion of do's and don'ts through some sense of misplaced guilt. No more living to make an impression upon men. But oh, I want to live out of a vital communion with Christ. That's what I desire. That was David's testimony. Is it your testimony? Is that how you've been living your life? Is it how you are today living your life? If not, why not? Do you know Christ? Oh, if you don't know him, it's time you got to know him. There is none like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies. He blesses, he fills, he uses. Do you know Christ? If you do, why would you not live in the fullness of fellowship with him? That was David's desire. Oh, make it your desire before God today. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.